Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a very special episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chains nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which is good for the economy, because now everybody can get a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. And my very special guests For the first time coming back on the Vinnie Eastwood Show for, I have no idea, must have been 33 years, it feels like, is James Wright and Freighter X. Guys, welcome.
Hi, how's it going?
And Freighter, are you there?
I'm in kind of a loud spot here, Vinnie. I'll try to be here, but I got to keep it muted because I got noise in the background. But yeah, I'm here.
All right, cool. Well, there's a very special reason why we're here today. And yesterday, James had an attempt on his life by the Freemason scum that he exposes so well. James, if you would please elucidate and let the audience know a bit of a blow-by-blow of that particular account.
Okay, yeah, you'll have to forgive me. I'm still a little scatterbrained at the moment. I'm trying to rapidly pack to catch a plane later, and there's like 1,000 things happening and dealing with the mangled remains of a wrecked car and all that. It's a nightmare. So anyway, what happened yesterday was I had appointments in L.A. I'd been down. I moved to L.A. in February, but the last month I've been down staying with friends because of the threats and things that had happened, and it kind of freaked me out. My apartment got broken into, and the MO looked like somebody was looking for something, perhaps. I'm just speculating the sort of evidence I have, but of course I never kept it, you know, in my living space, so I guess they didn't find what they were looking for. But anyway, I had to go. There was no way around it. I had stuff to do. And I went up, did it, and I was leaving and driving back. And, you know, it's about an hour and a half drive there if in good traffic between Los Angeles and San Diego. So I was driving back, and there was this car that had been kind of trailing me and everything. So I was aware of that. I tried calling a friend in the OC to pull off the freeway for a little while and just, you know, say hey and wait for whatever that was to pass or something, but I couldn't get a hold of him, so I just decided to keep driving. And I was right north of San Diego on the 5 freeway, and this van pulled up, the window went down, and I'm pretty sure I saw a weapon of some kind, and then everything happened very fast. What happened that I can – I mean, I've been going over this again and again all night. I didn't sleep very well. It's all a mess. But
I didn't sleep very well. I didn't sleep very well either.
No. Yeah, it I'll tell you what, when you do this kind of stuff, people don't realize, but that's beside the point. So first what happened was the steering wheel turned to the right, like a lot. I mean, as much as you would turn it making a right-hand turn, and yet I'm cruising forward smoothly and nicely at 65 miles an hour, and the car is not deviating, and yet the steering wheel is turning itself all the way to the right. And I'm thinking, what? I mean, I'm starting to freak out, you know, and like grab it, and like, what do I do? I'm not even moving, and yet the wheel's turning, you know, you don't know what to do. And then there was this explosion, and there was a very, very intense, violent jolt that I've never even felt anything that hardcore in a car before. It was just violent. And I mean, it looked like the car was about to come apart, and there was smoke and debris and pieces of car and everything that went up into the air behind me that I could see in the rearview mirror. And all the, well, the engine started making like the sound of it racing, and you could tell that like all of the systems, the power steering and the braking and everything was all kicking in overtime, really under strain. And so I was able to just come to a stop on the side of the freeway right there, like in the brush. And it was, I'm not sure what exactly went on underneath the car yet. I haven't had time to get it somewhere and get it up on a rack yet. But what I know so far is that the wheel well was completely mangled. The tires gone. We did not even, we found little bits of pieces and tire on the road, but it was basically all gone, and a fractured rim and all this, and whatever it was so powerful that there's like black scorching from flames coming from underneath the car in the back under the trunk. And it's a white car, so it's very easy to see that. And the trim all down the passenger side was blown completely off. I mean, it's even my front bumper was like split in half underneath. I saw that this morning, and I'm like, what happened under there to cause that much destruction? It's just, I don't know. I don't have all the answers right now. This is still in the heat of the moment, really.
The violence of your steering wheel jerk might suggest an answer. There was a person in New Zealand in 1996, I believe, who had stumbled across an enormous quantity of banking records that basically showed that this entire country is very corrupt, in a nutshell. And when he was killed, he was going over an overpass, and reports indicated that his car had turned a good 90 degrees while he's going 100 kilometers an hour. So his car flipped, and it turns out that state intelligence services in New Zealand use a retractable arm sort of thing on vehicles in order to cause accidents like this that will pull the steering wheel hard over while you're traveling at high speed. And the likelihood of you surviving a crash like that, not too high.
Well, that was the thing, is the car is, it's such a good car, I guess, it really speaks well for the car itself, that when this all happened, I mean, it didn't, however, it didn't lose control. It kicked in. It was really struggling, and it maintained a straightforward path down the freeway. And you know, I was able to pull the wheel and slam the brake and come to a stop on the side without hitting anything. So, I mean, that was fortunate because, I mean, obviously, whatever it was going on, whatever the specifics are, it was clear that they were trying to, you know, engineer a car crash. So...
You'd been suspicious that they might try and get rid of you in this way, and I'd been told that in the past this has happened to other Freemasonic whistleblowers as well. Freighter, I'm not sure if you know the story of this. What happened to the last person who exposed somebody really big like that in the Freemasons? It was like well over 100 years ago or something, wasn't it?
Oh, you're referring to the William Morgan affair, is that correct?
I can't remember specifically, but I would probably say that is the case.
William Morgan or Joseph Smith, either one.
Yeah, right. That's true. I mean, with Joseph Smith, I think it's pretty clear he incorporated the Freemasonic ritual into his Temple Mormonism, which. You know, that was a threat in and of itself in exposing the state because he had no compunction about initiating women as well, you know. And but with William Morgan, and frankly, it's kind of interesting synchronized connection between the two of them is that when Morgan disappeared, Joseph Smith married his widow. So that's pretty strange in and of itself. But I think that what we know with when we're dealing, see, at the time of William Morgan's disappearance, you also had the same Scotch, Mason, Germanic, continental tradition of masonry that was in that area, the burned over district, which is like the Hudson Valley River area of Batavia, Rochester, you know, all those towns around there, Palmyra, where Joseph Smith supposedly found the golden plates, where William Morgan disappeared. And, you know, people who aren't familiar with the Golden Plates, there's actually a mountain called Hill Coomera, which is in the Palmyra, Batavia region of New York, upstate New York, that there's a giant statue of the angel Moroni. And that's supposed to be the mountain the hill where Joseph Smith dug up the famed plates that were the Book of Mormon that he had to translate from like an angelic script. So, but, you know, bottom line is that Morgan, he was in a position to mix with the kind of folk that were serious about this Freemasonic business. I mean, to them, it was not a game. And I think that Morgan was looking – he had mercenary interests, you know. I don't know. Jay, what have you been working on lately you think might actually draw such ire? I mean, is there something specific lately, or do you think it's related to the other book that you've already published?
No, the next one's getting ready to be a whole lot worse. It's coming out at the end of this month, beginning of next. It's called Freemasonry's Filthy Rituals, and it's a very copious expose of that material. And I've tried to, you know, keep my editorial out of it so that the readers can, you know, make up their own minds what they think of it. And they know that it's coming. It's been announced for about a month now, so they know it's on its way, and I'm sure they are very, very upset and trying to get ready, you know, in the ways that they do. So,
in terms of this, we've got a long, sad history of people coming out, exposing Freemasonry, and disappearing. It happens all the time, apparently. And even anecdotally, more recently, what I found frustrating when I was trying to, you know, I was up till like 4 o'clock in the morning sharing these links around on Facebook. You know, sometimes time is of the frickin' essence. And what was interesting to me is the amount of people who just wouldn't believe that this even happened to you. That was what was really quite frustrating to me. I mean, they say that...
Just pointing out that there's a lot of trolls on it. That's what they do. They have no other way to attack me. The Masonic fraternity has not come out and said... Oh no, he's fibbing, he's lying, he's stretching the truth, that didn't happen, he didn't work in that position, nothing of the kind has been said. But you have all these Masons who are out trolling all the information I put out. Oh, this can't be, he's delusional, he's a charlatan, he's a this, that, the other, you know, just trying to make inflammatory statements and cause some sort of reaction. Well, I don't react to those people. I have nothing for them. I have no time for them. I have no respect for them. So,
Well, one comment that really got my goat, and I found actually quite amusing, is I'm a Freemason, and any insinuation that there's any kind of Freemason conspiracy is laughable. And I liken it to saying, I worked for KFC once and they tell everybody the secret recipe on the first day on the job.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Retarded?
Yeah, you know, what you're dealing with, the example is that these people don't understand that there's agents and operatives and groups operating worldwide under the auspices of Freemasonry, but have other agendas. They've pledged obedience to other appendant orders. They just operate within the fraternity of Freemasonry as well, and most times they've infiltrated the leadership of Freemasonry. So that's why we're dealing with a situation where somebody could stand up so adamantly and say, that's not true, I've been in Freemasonry for 30 years and blah, blah, blah. Not to mention what you're talking about, Vinny, on the entry level. I mean, people can just stay at an entry level thing and never learn anything about it. And then they could go out and say, I testify that I've been involved with this for decades and I have never seen anything. Well, big deal. It's because you've never rose up at any level where you might bump elbows with someone who was involved in that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I had a meeting with a number of whistleblowers last night. And one thing that we all were talking about is how do you actually wake people up? How do you wake people up? And I offered the postulation that somebody who doesn't want to get out of bed, the only way that you're going to get them out of that bed is if a big frack off bucket of cold water gets dumped on them. Only then will they get their lazy ass out of bed. And I think that this is really the truth. Unless it happens to you, unless you actually take an active interest in what's really going on, you will not find out the truth. James Wright and Freda X are my guests. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. United we stand and divided we fall. Unity, please don't desert me.
Yeah. Yeah. And no one like me. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Congratulations, you made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo. Yeah. But I'm here now. So what you wanna do? Huh? How many dudes you really know can flow like this, like this, like this? Let's do it. How many dudes you know move like this? How many dudes you know flow like this?
Not many, if any. Not many, if any.
How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody.
Check, check to the mic, check. A 1-2 from a crew coming through. Are you hype yet? Nowadays, everybody wanna talk. If you got someone to scribe, ain't got nothing when I'm up in the live. It can't pump when you're feeling the vibe. You know, scribe is sticking you high. Level with the double bass. Vibrate, shoot the place, and you're ready to break. Y'all hit a man move like an RS. Super rude with the crew. Come equipped like a body kit. Lyrically, vibe, burn quick.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand. Ain't nobody rocking a show like this. Like this. My very special guests, James Wright and Freda X, two of the preeminent Freemasonry experts in the world today. For those who don't know, Freda X if you've ever seen some kind of really dark, scary movie where somebody's like, researching into like the deep, darkest occult, and he's in these ancient kind of libraries sifting through dust-covered tomes that haven't been touched in like 400 years or something of that nature, with dark, evil spirits swirling around them and so on and so forth. That's Freighter X. And on the top of that, there's James Wright, who is... In some cases, if you were a Mason and you loved masonry, you'd be incredibly jealous of James because he achieved high levels and rank in the Freemasonic Institution, indeed, working at the power hub of the Scottish, Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, and... as a direct result, not only was he sexually propositioned daily by married Freemasons, he also was exposed to their incredibly filthy rituals. And to date, there has been no more significant insider coming out and exposing the corruption and scumbaggery that many have feared and thought of only as a theory until now, that has come out and giving the evidence in detail. So this is the panel that we have here for you today, ladies and gentlemen. So you will have some information here that you won't get anywhere else. This is from the inside. Freighter's a member of 9 different orders, right? In full possession of knowledge that the vast majority of Freemasons that walk the earth today have not even the slightest inkling of. My role in all of this, I am not that well versed in the Freemasonic institutions, have never been a Mason myself, but I'm not frickin' naive. When I look at the institutions in New Zealand, for example, 3 most powerful political positions in New Zealand are the mayor of the Auckland Super City, a city of 1.1 million people, the largest city in the country, is Len Brown, who's a 32nd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite. The second most powerful position would be the coalition partner of the current government. That would be the ACT Party. Only one person is representative in Parliament, and that is John Banks, who's the former mayor of Auckland, who is also, incidentally, a 33rd degree Freemason. And the Prime Minister's office, which is currently occupied by a former Federal Reserve Wall Street banker named John Key, who is a 32nd degree Freemason. What do you think the likelihood is that all 3, not just 1, not just 2, but all 3 of the 3 most powerful positions politically in this country are all high-level ranking Freemasons of the Scottish Rite? Do you think that's a coincidence? I'm not naive enough to believe that it is. And indeed, this institution of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry has set about taking over everything to do with Freemasonry, to abolish anything that it maybe was once good or once positive in this institution, and turn it into a cesspool of ignorance, naivety, and scumbaggery, whilst using dark occulted mysticism. Is that about a fair assessment, James, of what's going on here?
I would say so, yes. That's an excellent point. I mean, no one stops to look what is just blatantly right in front of their faces. And yeah, it's true. Freemasonry has had wonderful moments in history. It's been behind revolutions and very, very great social changes and everything, but that's the history of it. It's not the present status of it. The present status is something very, very dark indeed, because roughly 120 years ago, it suddenly, the grip of power not only shifted in Freemasonry, but it shifted a lot of other places as well. That's when you had a lot of activity going on in Europe with the Golden Dawn and with the Ordo Templi Orientis and all those sort of figures like Aleister Crowley, MacGregor Mathers, Leo Taxil was all up in the mix, and it was a very interesting point. And then it seems like the aftermath all through the 1900s has been an increasing growth and shift toward the Scottish Rite, which a lot of staunch ritualists would arguably and have a very strong case to plead is not actually Freemasonry to begin with. So it's interesting. And so in the meantime, what's happened? Well, a lot of small neighborhood blue lodges and York Rite commanderies have all had to either shut down, consolidate, merge, and everything just to survive. Meanwhile, the Scottish Rite is unmasking more wealth, more power by the day, and there doesn't seem to be a rational explanation as to how or why.
And Freda is currently in the process of writing his book, The Secret War Inside Freemasonry. The Scottish Rite has basically declared war on all aspects of Freemasonry, blue lodges and Shriners and so on and so forth, to put themselves on top. And sure enough, now whenever a mainstream media or Discovery Channel or anything that you can think of goes to a Freemason to ask of any information about it whatsoever, do they go to any of these other lodges, or do they straight ahead, always, without fail, go directly to the Scottish Rite to find a 33rd degree Mason to interview?
That's really an excellent point, Vinny. It's the point that really needs to be driven home. I mean, right now, as we speak, one of the main culprits that you see on those History Channel specials, the Secrets of Freemasonry Revealed and all this stuff, they always have S. Brent Morris. He's the same culprit. You just look him up. Just type in S. Brent Morris in Google or any search browser, search engine, and you will get endless reams and threads of information about this guy. He basically, for all intents and purposes, I actually met the man in person in Washington last year, and I was at the Masonic Week. It was a big weekly, yearly convention where all these appendant orders of Freemasonry, which means orders that predicate membership on you being a Freemason first, and then you're tapped to join exclusive invitational-only bodies, where the real voodoo is going on, you know, is in these. Most of the ones that you don't even know exist until you're asked to join, and they're not really recruiting openly membership. They're only selecting. So Freemasonry becomes a clearinghouse. And S. Brent Morris, when I met the man, after a few moments of conversation, he told me flat out that he was in the CIA, that he had, in fact, worked for cryptography for a long time, and that was his forte, was ciphers and secret codes and symbolism and subliminal messaging. And this man, I come back to the Midwest to find that Masonry out here is currently moving forward to adopt S. Brent Morris's The Complete Idiot's Guide to Freemasonry as their Masonic education material. This is remarkable and outrageous as far as I'm concerned, because they're throwing out the traditions. The only thing left really that separates the Blue Lodges from the Scottish Rite and accepting what I would consider to be a bastardized version of the history of Freemasonry and the purpose. And, you know, James Wright makes a really good point that, you know, it's history when we look about all the great achievements of Freemasonry. And even today, I believe, and I love to speak about the positive esoteric aspects of the system that is the ancient craft masonry lodge system. But I got to agree with him that the leadership and the organization itself seems so infiltrated and so corrupt from within at this point that it seems to be merely an arm functioning for the Scottish Rite.
And, you know, I know that many Masons out there, if they're listening or if they hear this in the podcast later, would disagree with me. And I've had brother Masons contact me and try to dress me down on these generalizations. But this has been my experience. This has been James Wright's experience. This has been, you know, I could name a few other people who actually would prefer not to be named because they want to avoid the kind of things that are happening, like to James Wright. So, you know, in the end, in the final analysis, the proof is in the actions. And what we see is that, yes, Vinny, the Scottish Rite acts like the overlords of all the lodge systems. And they come in, they take over, they infiltrate, they give away the high, what they call an honorary degree. If you look it up in the dictionary, what honorary means, it means something you receive without earning it, not doing anything for it. That's an honorary degree. That's what the 33rds get, unless they're really special. They have honorary memberships, which means all they do is pay for it. They didn't do anything else to earn it or any kind of achievement. And this is an important distinction to be made because they give those out to leaders. You know, all the leaders of the world and the countries, they take those as honorary degrees, and then they, you know, slowly get them on board one way or the other, right?
Yeah, totally. It's always, I mean, because they build it up so much, there's a mythology just behind that 33rd degree in the Scottish Rite that everybody foams at the mouth for it, and so it's this little tool to use. We say jump, you say how high, and, you know, but don't ever look like you want it because, you know, then we'll have to discipline you or something. And it's just, it's weird. It's so weird. And Brent Morris, let me tell you something about that character. He came out of the same place I did. Now, we have different mother lodges, but his mother lodge is a lodge called Highland Park Lodge in Dallas. It's very old, very prominent. And he went through the Dallas Scottish Rite and was selected to go on to Supreme Council dealings. So, yeah, he's out of that same Dallas Mason mix, which nothing good ever comes out of, by the way.
Well, now, and of course, people don't recognize the disconnect, is that there are those in control, those who are in the know, and there are those who are simply part of Freemasonry and are completely unawares. And again, going back to the KFC thing, they don't give you the secret recipe your first day on the job. Okay, and it doesn't make any sense unless.
Wait a second, Vinny. Can I just interrupt for a second and tell you that, you know, the point is that yes, in fact, they could even give you the secret because you wouldn't understand it anyways. Frankly, you could be handed this secret, which is merely. It's an experiential thing. It doesn't matter if you get a secret word or a secret handshake or a secret whatever. That's for somebody who has mercenary, you know, mercenary pursuits and mercenary motives to get ahead in life. Somebody who's actually trying to transform their consciousness or enlighten themselves, the secret comes from the experience. It's the experience which is secret, and that's because it's between you and the universe. But this is beyond what we're dealing with here. Sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to point out that you make a good point there.
Well, thank you. And the other element that I wanted to say is that there is accusations flying out, okay? And it strikes me as cognitive dissonance. If you're a member of the Freemasonic cult and you're not aware that it's a cult and somebody comes out and starts questioning your belief structure, the first thing that these people do is they jump on you and they say, oh, it's BS. Oh, he's been discredited. Oh, this, oh, that, oh, the other. And they're speaking from a position of absolute ignorance. Not, you know, semi-ignorance, but absolute ignorance. I know more about Freemasonry, having not even been a Freemason, than these people do that might have been a Freemason for 20 or 30 years. Because I actually did a bit of research. I actually listened to those people who know what the frack they're talking about. So when somebody comes out, like James Wright, and says, I've just had an assassination attempt on my life, it doesn't strike me as, oh, this person's crazy. It strikes me as, yep, same old, same old. Now it needs to be exposed, and hopefully it'll backfire on these fracks. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The final segment for the first hour here. Unfortunately, Fredo has other responsibilities. He has many responsibilities. He's a father. He's an author. He's a radio talk show host. And the fact that he's even not able to drop in today is by no stretch of the imagination a freaking miracle. And I want to thank you very much for taking some of your valuable time out to be with us today, Freda. So for this segment, I'd like you to do the bulk of the talking and the explaining and so on and so forth, just while we have access to your knowledge at this particular point. Is there anything you'd like to say about the assassination attempt on James Wright or any tangents instead that you'd prefer to take us off onto?
Well, I'm always good for a tangent. I mean, I think it's really unfortunate because, you know, James's case is a classic example of an individual with exceptional ability that rose up in an organization with seemingly good intentions. And, you know, it doesn't matter today because these systems that we have been infiltrated by, you know, mercenary interests and corrupt individuals that really are on a whole different playing field than us. There is an agenda going on that is just beyond you and me, you know, and I, even though nine esoteric orders, right? But the first few of them were entry level, just like what we were talking about in the last segment, you know, the KFC analogy. And the ones where I was tapped and brought in an invitational, I really believe it was just a form of marginalization in the sense that they brought me into a lot of research bodies to keep me preoccupied and, you know, keep me focused away from the areas where I might be abrasive, and that's in these obvious programs that are designed to usurp the truth, designed to usurp good moral compassing. I mean, that's the bottom line here: social moral compassing. If you look at James's book that's already written, Freemasonry's Cultic Abuses, this book stands alone in and of itself as a chronicle of abuse of power. And of what happens when individuals who are unqualified with no moral compass end up in positions with power over others. And it sounds like the book coming out, too, is going to hit some more nerve endings. And obviously, this is why he's at the point. And it's unfortunate because I know James, and I know that the last year or two of his life has been nothing but constant upheaval. And so once again, he's on the run. Once again, he's forced to look over his shoulder, you know, just when you might have thought you were starting to feel comfortable, you know, bam, something else happens. And in that way, that's very unfortunate for anyone. So I only hope the best for James, and I hope that, you know, that he can get to a place where they'll realize, anyone that's messing with him in his life will realize that, you know, to continue it is only promoting his cause, in fact. You're only showing that he must be hitting something important, or you would be leaving him alone, because there would be no need to bother James unless he was saying something that might affect things. And so there you are. You know, as far as my own tangent goes, I'm going through a lot of different changes. And yeah, my plate is tremendously full with all the usual writing, researching. But the family is, you know, the foremost in my mind right now is I've relocated with my family to the Midwest myself, back to Midwest, and just trying to, you know, find our ground and find our footing in these postmodern times, you know. And you know, life is not easy. As Vinny, you know, we listening to Vinny every night, anyone can hear the chronicles of a truther, the chronicles of someone who's committed themselves to the cause of truth without really being able to make ends meet unless others are willing to provide the resources, the sustenance. Vinny comes in, he's a clearinghouse himself. He brings so many people to the room that talk about so many issues. No man could research the amount of material that you've crossed the over the microphone, Vinny, and you yourself admit it. You couldn't possibly do that, but you allow people to speak. You allow people to get up and say these things. And I really enjoyed the back and forth in the last couple of weeks of the Jon Ervin debunking debacle. That was a very interesting exchange, you know, but I think the final word was made there as well. And, you know, my own life, like I said, I'm preparing an article for Paranoia Magazine, a fall issue, which I'm calling The Secret War on Human Consciousness, which is actually a chapter of the book, The Secret War
inside Freemasonry, because they're, it's an overarching theme. The two connect. The war inside Freemasonry, it, you know, Scottish Rite may be declaring war on all orders, but it's not declaring war outwardly. It's a secret war. It's a war of, you know, contrition, and a war of paper shuffling backdoor, sneaky underhanded dealings, and, you know, character assassinations, and targeting and destroying individuals because they might be, you know, in some way causing a drag in the agenda, you know? And this is a secret war in that sense. And then the secret war on human consciousness, of course, I believe it traces all the way back to the beginnings of, you know, statism, you know, people moving into cities and forming societies based on organizations that end up corrupt, it seems, over and over again. You know, the good intentions may be all the way. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. And it seems that, you know, I, at this point myself, I feel as if I've already demitted from one of the esoteric, you know, the fraternal Freemasonic orders I belong to. And there'll probably be more in the future, because I have to recognize where I can be most effective, you know. So the magazine I'm working on is the article's coming out in the fall. Then we've got, of course, I'm actually out here with Freeman Fly from FreemanTV.com. And everybody knows Freeman. We're working on launching the new Freeman TV network, which will be another banner for many independent media providers. And Vinny, I'd love to see that movie we were talking about in the break airing on the Freeman TV network. That would be an excellent place to put that. And we're just trying to bring together all the independent new media providers like yourself, like James, people who are researched, who have taken the time to formulate and connect dots and point out things. And like you were saying a couple segments back, Vinny, well, how do you reach people? How do you break through the shell of ignorance? It's not easy, and sometimes that's not what we're here to do. I think we're here to speak to those who have already woken up, that they just don't know which way to go with it. And people like us are way showers. We show the way. We say, this is a way to look. And so in the very near future, I'm also going to be on Red Ice Radio. I've been invited to come on Red Ice Radio and talk about my research. And I've also been asked to join a team of Truther. Well, it's basically going to be a video game app for phones that'll be based on like a choose-your-own-adventure truther conspiracy game. And I'm going to be one of the creative consultants, so that should be fun. And what else? There's also a new magazine coming out from the people at Sync Book Press, Douglas Bowles, who wrote Winter's Labyrinth. He will be editing and publishing this magazine. Myself, Mater X, and anybody else that cares to submit and meets the submission format requirements, it's going to be an excellent online, I believe, and real publish hard copy magazine in the near future as well. So, you know, there's a lot going on. And I also want to take some time. We're going to be developing all kinds of new comedic-oriented truth stuff, Vinny, stuff you might be very interested in. So we should definitely have a conference, you, me, and Freeman, and talk about a couple of formats, because we want to try to meet the need. We want to create tools for people to use to share the truth, and a new pop culture television network on the internet that would be in that format. It's just a new and exciting, innovative time for all of us, a new frontier. So I'm just thanks a lot for having me on, and I look forward to you and I having another conversation real soon, Vinny.
Indeed, and we definitely need to get together and do another episode of the Dark Occulted Mysticism show. It's been on hiatus for a number of months here while you've been going through some personal issues there, and I hope everything works out quite well with that. Now, the movie that I was talking about over the break, I want to make this movie. It's called 33 The Movie, and I'm a big film buff, and I watch a lot of movies online, and now that I know what Masonic symbolism is, you know, compass and squares, Freemasonic rings, Freemasonic tie clips, all-seeing eyes, pyramids, black and white checkered floors, etc. Every single time that I see one of those symbols in a film, I will go back, pause, and take a screenshot of it. And I have currently amassed a veritable library of the numbers and the symbols of Freemasonry that is all through Hollywood, completely saturated through Hollywood. Now, when you see one or two symbols in one film, it's like, oh, okay, there's a bit of Masonic symbolism. But when you see thousands relentlessly pumped in front of you, like Masonic 4, Masonic 4, Masonic 4, Masonic 4, Masonic 4, pyramid, all-seeing eye, all-seeing eye, all-seeing eye, Masonic 4, Masonic 4, Freemasonic ring, so on and so forth, it becomes absolutely undeniable. And I think one of the inspirations for this is a film called Fabled Enemies by Jason Burmes, whereby he opened the film with a half an hour of U.S. Congress people, senators, presidents, consultants, high up members of the elite, all using this word, New World Order. So it's relentless. New World Order, New World Order, New World Order, New World Order, New World Order. And by about the fifth minute, me and my producer, Mitch Santel at the time, were laughing our asses off because it suddenly became so absolutely obvious of the level of infiltration of the establishment that the New World Order idea has had. And 33, the movie, which I'm currently amassing the material for at this particular point, will be the definitive work on Freemasonic symbolism in cinema. And indeed, James can elucidate on the reason why there's so much Freemasonic symbolism in cinema when we come back from the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Don't you go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. Women and children, front lines, log on, tune in, stand and be counted. Wounded station in the belly of the vulture. Watch your back, there's no civilians. Women, children, front lines, listen. Consider this a distant early warning. The fire's imminent, pollution gathering dust particles funneling through smokestacks, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation to fed. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses. Welcome back. It is now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because the world's so full of chaos and madness and Freemasonic scumbaggery. If you lose your sense of humor, you'll go freaking nuts. And I remember I was getting these messages from you yesterday, James, saying that you've had this attempt on your life, and I was just thinking, oh, my God, I need to call this guy up very, very quickly and not only record something and get it up on online, and you can see that quick 10-minute video, ladies and gentlemen, at my YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media, but not only that, but make sure to make you laugh and provide a little bit of levity, because, you know, it's when times are darkest that you need to cackle the hardest. Now, anyway, Freemasonry in cinema. Why is there so much symbolism in Hollywood, James?
Well, that's a good question. Arguably, it's because it is, you know, to indoctrinate and attract a younger generation to the occult. So you have the stuff like that people see frequently in like the music videos. You know, Kesha would be a really good example of just something that's completely stooped in, you know, drowning in occult symbols and all that, just blatant, and the hip hop stuff as well and all that. I mean, I was pretty naive when I moved to Hollywood, but now that I've seen it up close and personal, and not only that, being who I am, seem to attract a lot of other elite occult types and so forth out of the woodwork to approach me and want to discuss things and, you know, just, I guess, kind of satisfy their own curiosity, really. Not anyone that I appeared, you know, felt it was a threat or anything like that, but yes, I got a really good vantage point, and it seems to me that yes, it's true. It's all controlled, and that's all entertainment. So we're not just talking about TV and and film, we're also talking about the literary and the sports and all of it. It's there's a lot of surgical engineering that goes into that, and these people who you see as your big stars, the only reason they are really or allowed to be is because they tend to go along with the game and allow for all this stuff to circulate in the background. So
I've seen a number of Donald Sutherland films of late, and every single one of them, there he is standing on a black and white Masonic floor. There he is mentioning the number 33. Every single one of Donald Sutherland's films. It was extraordinary. It, like, blew me away. And it was just like, you know, there's something going on here. I don't know exactly what it is, but to say that there's absolutely nothing going on here, unequivocally, is freaking stupid.
Yeah, that's the actual conspiracy theory. The real one is that there's nothing going on, nothing to see.
That's the coincidence theory. Now, I wanted to read out... I was actually really honored when you asked me to do this, to write the foreword for the Filthy Rituals of Freemasonry. Many people can make a stand, some for their home or family, others because their nation is under attack. Few take a stand for the entire human race. Most whom are in a position to do so are silenced by the very elements they attempt to expose, by ridicule, sabotage, fear, and murder. When discerning whether a whistleblower is genuine or not, one must look at the consequences they suffer as a sort of qualifier, dark and distressing as it sounds. James Wright was a ranking member of the Brotherhood of Freemasonry, a paid employee within the exclusive Supreme Council of the 33rd degree. An enviable feat for such a young man. He excelled due to his high level of dedication and attention to detail, living a vibrant social life in Dallas, with friends, personal property, and safety with which to walk the streets. But the glamour began to fade. Married men made sexual advances daily upon him, being ordered to behave one way around certain people, splitting into just J for casual and then James for professional appearances. He saw others groveling, allowing themselves to be abused by the perverted and twisted masters of the lodge. Something changed. Somehow, the elaborate fine china collection engrossed in Masonic symbols were not something to be revered and collected, but instead smashed on a rock, one after the other, for YouTube. The robes and gowns, official regalia, became like disease-ridden blankets used to exterminate native tribes. He began to speak out, to make a stand against the Supreme Council and expose the truth, that they are not just a charitable organization that hosts pancake breakfasts, but a hugely powerful, well-organized elite cult, writhing in ritual, sated by sacrifice, obsessed with sex, and descending into dark occulted mysticism. The results of going public in this way were to suddenly be without any security, forever being stalked, watched, threatened, unable to keep a secure home, money, or anything in Dallas. He had to go out of state. Imagine what it feels like to have attempts on your life, like nearly being murdered on your way home by a stranger in the car, tipping alcohol all over you, and trying to cause a crash, having to run screaming for your life at a truck stop. Imagine leaving to live in some small town that no one's ever heard of and still being unable to sleep because of the endless stress, fearing that you'd never find someone to hold you ever again, relationships ending or never beginning out of fear, experiencing true loneliness and isolation. Contemplate upon returning to Texas, living in hiding on a friend's rural property. You find out the local sheriff happens to be a Mason. Then having to live in your car, unwashed, malnourished, camping out at the wireless hotspots provided by some hotel motels, trying desperately to communicate with anybody who could help. Then come to find out that your own mother signed for you to be forcibly committed to a mental institution, where you're strapped in a chair and forced to watch Christina Aguilera music videos and Disney movies, drugged against your will, and having to play their game in order to get released. Meanwhile, one of your mentors of royal blood is brutally murdered in what appears to be a ritual sacrifice. So much more has happened that has been left out, but even these few examples must make one ponder intensely at the plaguing question that has baffled mankind for centuries. What do the Freemasons have to hide? In reading this, you will be provided the answer. Be grateful that such a book was ever written by the hand of man. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Edmund Burke. And the reason I was able to write this out is because I'd interviewed James a number of times and spoken off-air, I think maybe even spoken off-air with him for more hours than I've been on-air, in fact. Basically because when James was in these kind of situations, he would message me and I'd look at Skype and just see like these 18 messages from James Wright. And I'd go, oh my God, I can't be bothered reading that. Just give him a call. And these are the things that he's been going through. They've been telling me. And I actually got into a verbal fist fight with people on Facebook last night when I was posting the video of the assassination attempt, because the denial infuriated me, because they're not in full possession of the facts, as I have been, and indeed they were laughing, you know. They're saying, oh, this is laughable, ha, 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 he just had somebody try and kill him, ha, ha, ha. That's not funny. Imagine if it was your friend. Would you be laughing then? I don't think so. Now, we'd like to take some callers, if you are able. The number is 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525 is the number to call in to American Freedom Radio and offer your opinions and how you feel about this whole incident as well. James, anything to say?
Well, I mean, I want to thank you again for that forward. It's really beautiful, and it's kind of, triggering of emotions and things. Because, I mean, so much of this stuff, it's like I just, I don't know. I keep going at it, and it's this big, lunatic, deranged chess game, and they make a move, I make a move, they make a move, I make a move. And I don't know. It seems like there is no lower standard. There is no threshold of reason. Everything is just purely chaotic, and that's how they like it. And I don't know, it's been very difficult. So I mean, for people that say that, you know, oh, he's sitting back and laughing and raking in the cash or whatever, no, moving to LA was not even possible without other people helping me. Once I got there, the little tiny bit of money I was able to make was gone in, you know, 2 months of just basic living expenses. So this has not been fun or glamorous or anything like that. And I'm expected by a lot of people to keep on this appearance of ferocity and just be completely renegade and ballsy and it just everything you can imagine that goes with it. At the end of the day, I mean, I'm still a human being. I'm not a god. So, I mean, fighting this battle does take out of me certain energy and everything else, and I believe in what I'm doing. I'm not going to stop, but I mean, yeah, there's a lot of things that are very difficult to deal with, you know, as a result of this type of work. And ultimately, I can't say how it's going to play out. I mean, in a perfect world, you know, the Freemasons are brought out from under their rocks and have to answer a lot of questions and account for a lot of things. And, you know, the world moves into a better place. Worst case scenario, absolutely nothing changes. So that's
speaking of things that don't change, divine providence. When this attempt happened on your life yesterday, there was, in fact, somebody driving behind you who knew who you were and indeed came and helped you. Could you tell people about that?
Yeah, he actually wasn't driving behind. He was up. I was going southbound on the 5, and he was in the parking lot of a you know, outdoor shopping plaza type setup place that was elevated, you know, up a bit and over to the right. So he was there at the side of the parking lot and facing the freeway and saw what happened. And so he came up running. And then when he got to the car, you know, he recommended, "Oh my God, you're that Freemason guy that's been speaking out and everything." Yeah. And then he, you know, he was a Marine and very, very kind. And I was so grateful that he came up because, I mean, he was basically saying the entire time, you know, well, what if there's a cop or something that is one and is in on this or something, you know? So I was just really, really grateful to have someone there. It could have played out a whole lot differently than it did. And I mean, hell, for that matter, the car that caused this could have come back around for a second pass or something. I mean, I just, who knows? But yeah, it was once he, you know, helped me inspect the damage to the car and all that, he was about as freaked out as I was just because of how obvious it was that there had been some sort of explosion or something that took place underneath that car, because it's just too, I never hit anything. I never, quote, crashed. So the damage that's been done to the car it's consistent with an extreme force hitting it from somewhere underneath going outward, because it blew off the passenger side. There's scorching around the trunk. The wheel well of the wheel in question is basically not, the car may have to be totaled. I don't know yet. So.
Well, I was talking about this last night with another bunch of whistleblowers, is that, it's like when you're doing God's work, angels appear to protect you in your time of need. What was his name? President Andrew Jackson, who got rid of the private central bank that was threatening to enslave the people of the United States, and unfortunately got reinstituted in 1913. And still enslaves you all today. There was an attempt on his life in broad daylight, and the assassin had 2 pistols, and they both misfired. And it occurred to me that when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, when you're fulfilling the divine will of God, when you are a warrior, and you are taking on the evil that besets mankind, you will have amazing experiences. You think, how did I survive that? What are the likelihood that somebody who knew me would be actually watching at the time when this happened to me and came over to support me? What is the likelihood of that? And the answer is, it's not. You know, there might, the amount of people that are aware of you, James, enough to recognize your face and know who you are, is an extremely small minority out of the population of the United States. And yet, in your time of need, there is a person right there to protect you and to help you. Isn't that interesting? It's because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. The number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show.
There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. As I say, it's the lighter side of genocide. Me and James were laughing over the break. And just because we're laughing over the break after he had an assassination attempt on him, it doesn't mean the assassination attempt didn't say any of you Freemasonic denial scum out there. We were talking about his car insurance and how it doesn't cover assassination attempts. And I was just thinking, you know, If you're going to, like, advertise to people, you know, like, assassination insurance, you know, are you a whistleblower? Have you got motherfuckers busting caps at your ass when you're driving down the freeway? You know, get assassination insurance and you will get a pass. Okay, maybe that's in poor taste. But still, your car's messed up, man. What are you going to do? What you going to do? You know? Who are you going to call? It's like Ghostbusters. You know, it's just difficult to deal with. Even just the concept of this. How exactly do you survive when people are trying to kill you? You know, it's just totally unwarranted. It's not feasible because you've got to be like on edge at all times. And it doesn't matter how many hugs you get or how many pats on the back or how many cigarettes you get given or anything like that. You're still under threat of having your life extinguished by scum. And that doesn't go away. And it won't go away until this entire apparatus and institution and scumbaggery concoction is eradicated. And that is a massive task. Massive. People don't realize just how huge Freemasonry really is, how international it is. And James is just one man. Just one man. Trying to do what nobody for hundreds of years has even attempted. Blowing the whistle on these people. And I think it serves as in fact, as a good example as to the fact that these people do not use human tactics. You know, they've got no conscience. Their scumbaggery is persistent. It's just terrible, man. And I'm just so tired. I know that you are too. You can't sleep from any of this stuff. It's just so stressful, and you've got somewhere to be. Like you're actually going to have to leave us early, because you've got, you know, things to do, places to go. You can't even use your debit cards because the Sentinel program will be able to track that stuff and pinpoint your location. Send out their ghouls and winged monkeys to your location. You know, you just got to basically be on edge, total stress at all times. And I wish I could do more, but I'm just your friendly neighborhood douchebag reporter. This is the best I can do. And I fear it's not enough.
Well, I don't know when it will ever be enough. I mean, I don't. If I had a magic wand or a genie in a lamp, I don't know exactly what could even be asked for. To, I mean, aside from people are going to have to rally together and have a big outcry if they want to see this brotherhood brought out of the shadows and made to account for its dirty dealings. It just, that's the only way that we're going to get from A to B in a positive, constructive manner that moves forward, not backward. And I mean, this is why I have absolutely no time to devote to people who want to try and have a, you know, an angry exchange of words or whatever. I just, that's, no, I mean, I can't. It's, there's so many intelligent points to debate with all this subject matter that you could have a 24-hour show and not cover every single facet of this octopus organization. So, I mean, it's like, I mean, I've always said, whenever you walk through one door, you come into a new hallway full of doors. When you look into this type of stuff, it just goes on and on, and that's how it's meant to. It's compartmentalized on purpose. So, in the meantime, I mean, yeah, it's me personally. I don't know what to make of all this. I mean, I know the consequences there's been. I know that. I mean, for example, if I was to go through the city of Dallas, I have friends who would want to see me, but would not want to see me where they live because they don't want anyone following me to distinguish their place of residence as a potential place of interest that I might be at some time. So, I mean, it's been carried to that level. I mean, I actually got to meet someone and go out on some dates when I've been in Los Angeles, and he had a very serious problem with all the type truther stuff anyway, totally asleep, you know, whatever. And I had hoped that perhaps he would wake up somewhat, but he did say something that was very on point when we were sort of calling it quits. And he made this comment to me about, well, you're going to have a really hard time ever finding someone to put up with this stuff. I mean, he's right about that. It's crazy, life-altering stuff that, I mean, I can objectively look at it and go, okay, if I was someone else and met me, I'd probably be like, whoa, you're like the plague, you know? So, I mean, I don't know. It's I guess it's a matter of, like, degrees of bravery or something. You know, if you don't care and you believe in your convictions, then, you know, have at it. But there's been nothing but consequences. I have not gained anything from this. I do not stand to gain anything from this. Not really. And my life is extremely difficult now. It used to be very nice. And so there's your evidence right there.
Yeah.
My car that's in pieces, I mean, the insurance on it was liability only. I have not been able to afford comprehensive in over a year now. So, you know, and that's where why we were joking around about that. That's all you can do at this point. The insurance company isn't going to cover this theatrical thing that unfolded. It's just, it was a single car mishap, accident, whatever. And so, yeah, that's, you know, down a car. So, you know, it keeps on and it keeps on.
Yeah. And I think, like, if you had assassination insurance, they'd have even bigger payout if you were fake suicided or something, you know? Like, if you're found with your hands bound behind your back and then shot in the head and it's ruled a suicide, you get, like, an extra payout.
Yeah.
You know? This is just, it's freaking crazy, man. And I don't know. I'm like at a loss for words right now, James. Honestly, I don't know what to say.
Yeah,
I can't help. That's actually the thing that's frustrating me and blocking my mind right now is the full knowledge that I can't help you. because I'm not there.
Yeah, I had a long call this morning with my sister, and she said those exact same words. You know, it's no one really knows what to say anymore. It's been carried so far, and I mean, it was getting out over the top and ridiculous this time last year. So a whole year's worth of stuff has gone on since then, and it's just, and there's no end in sight. So.
Well, I think that there is a greater force that's behind you, even if I can't be there to physically protect you or Freda or anything like this. There is something with you right now, watching over you, and you're not alone, and you have all the protection you need. The problem is it's not physically manifested. It's not right there in front of you. You can't touch it. It can't hold you in the middle of the night when you're curled in a fetal position, crying and afraid for your life. It's not comforting, is it?
No, there's certainly not a lot of comfort to be found in this type of scenario, no. So I have to take comfort in other things like feeling at the end of the day like I made some sort of progress, or I went to this rally or this protest, or marched down this street and spoke here and shook hands there and you know, did everything I could that day to make a difference. And but it's never enough. So it's very difficult to gauge from one day to the next of, okay, how productive was I in this whole struggle today? How, you know, I mean, it's there's absolutely no way to measure it. There's no instruction booklet for any of this type stuff. I mean, most Freemasons don't even know what it is their own order does. So, I mean, it's just that crazy and that much of a gray area that far removed from people with the whole elitism thing. It's just, it's a whole other world, but it is very real indeed. And I think most people would figure out sooner or later at some point, wake up to some sort of news one morning or whatever, and it's, you know, oh, it's just as we've suspected all along. They got their hands in this cookie jar and that one, and they're pulling this judge and that senator and all this stuff around by the back of their hair. I mean, yeah, that is the reality of it.
Now, we have a caller here, Kyle in Philly. Welcome to the program. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. I think what James was saying earlier was pretty profound about relationships and dealing with people in the subject matter. And I think it's safe to say that everybody who deals in this information at some point or another has wanted to unknow it and wanted to not have that burden on their shoulders. And about having people who can truly help, the ones who could do the most, the ones that have the wealth and the power and the influence, are the ones who are the most reluctant to do anything because they stand the most to lose, being as that they have benefited most from the system the way that it is. And that is, I mean, and until you can change those simple facts, it's almost enough that you're pushing that boulder uphill.
Well, I mean, what James is doing has never been done. You know, nobody's ever actually written, you know, the book on Freemasonry, let alone two.
Well, but I'm saying that, okay, the people who come out and give him, you know, the most, this is inside true, you know, whistleblowers, Snowden, those guys, they stand the most to lose. They are in the positions of the highest power, having used the system that is, you know, oppressing us all. So why would they, you know, that's the backwards, that's the oxymoron of the entire situation.
You know, and how do you deal with it, right? And the answer is, well, basically, you can't. It's like as long as your heart's still beating and oxygen's still coming to your lungs, really, you have to deal with it. You know, you don't have a choice.
I'll speak bluntly honest. My grandfather was a 33rd degree Mason in Philadelphia in a lodge. I am now a 3rd degree Mason. I got raised the whole nine, and then once I began to see where it was going, I haven't been back to a meeting since. So there's people who, you know, they get the light shined in their eyes and they make the decision. You know, do I continue to go this path or do I see what it's really about and try to reject it?
Was that a hard decision for you, Kyle?
No, not at all. Once they had me on my back with a pair of ripped pants on, surrounding me, looking down on me, giving me the lion's paw to stand up, and it was unlike anything I'd never done before, I said, this is not normal behavior. This is not something that I want to be a part of. And I backed out as soon as I possibly could.
So you weren't willing to be indoctrinated by the cult?
No, not at all. But by the same token, I mean, it was the same lodge that my grandfather was the 33rd degree Mason. He was the, you know, a past worshipful master. To give you an idea, a gentleman who my grandfather brought into the lodge.
I'm sorry. Kyle, if you would hold that thought, and I'll bring you back in after the break. I've just got to say goodbye to James at this point, so hold on just a moment there, Kyle. So, James, thank you so much for joining us today. I know you've got a run, and may God be with you.
Thanks, Vinny, for everything you do. You're a good friend, and Kyle's story sounds really good, too. I wish that we could.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor, smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor. Believe what you want, but my evidence is greater.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And I want to thank American Freedom Radio for giving me this platform. They've given me the ability to help people. And this is something that I realized over my holiday, is that I now have not only the ability, but here's the thing. If you have the ability, then you have the responsibility. That's what I feel. Kyle in Philly, welcome back. And before we talk to you, behind me is a picture of the Prime Minister of New Zealand, John Key, at Freemasons New Zealand. All right? The Masonic Compass and Square and everything. So if people think that I'm making it up when I say that the Prime Sinister is a Freemason and all of this kind of stuff, I'm not. There's the evidence right there behind me on the screen. And those of you who are listening on air and on the radio will be able to go to my YouTube channel and they'll be able to see that during this entire show, I have been putting images behind me that I've taken screenshots off of movies and things of that nature, of all these Freemasonic symbols, just to illustrate precisely what we're talking about here. All right, Kyle, welcome back.
And it's not even people who are necessarily Masons. It's the power that they wield. I mean, there were people at lodge meetings and at high meetings who, I mean, the district attorney for Philadelphia was at one of our meetings giving a speech, and it was, you know, understood that there was a certain amount of donation that would go to him. So even if people aren't Masons and they don't walk around wearing their lamb cloths and their tuxedos and what have you, there's still a lot of influence there. There's still a lot of tit for tat, you do for me, we'll do for you sort of underlying agreement.
Well, that's why they call it the Brotherhood, because, my brother, for example, you know, he and I would do favors for each other if needs be, isn't it?
Absolutely, it's one thing to be a brother. It's another thing to have the Masonic order behind you, even if you're not a Mason. Even if they say, listen, you know, even in little things, and, you know, we'll make sure the City Hall procures the money to get that what have you fixed at the temple, at the lodge, you know. So it doesn't even, you don't even necessarily need to be a member to feel the influence of Freemasons. I mean, it's, and that's on a very lower level, you know?
And how old were you when you first got inducted into the order?
27.
Were you invited?
I put a few feelers out. Like I said, my grandfather was involved, and I had heard a little bit about it, but didn't know much. And so I had put a few feelers out. I said, "Hey, do you know anybody who's a Freemason? How do you get, you know, how do you get an invite? How do you do this and that?" And then one of them got back to me, and they said, "We'd like to send a couple guys out to your house. We'll sit down, we'll talk to you for a little bit. They'll see whether or not, you know, they'll get a feel for who you are, and then they'll repeat, they will report back to the, at the Lex Lodge meeting, and there'll be a vote." And that's, you know, everybody gets a white ball and a black ball, and if you get one black ball, you're not in. So everybody anonymously walks up and puts their ball in the little box, then it's counted, and if there's one black ball, then you're out, you're blackballed. And you'll never be allowed to get in. I didn't get any black balls, so then they extended an invitation to me, and they said, "Why don't you come on down to a meeting?" And they go in, all the brothers go in and do a meeting beforehand, and for about an hour and a half, me and two other guys sat outside the room, and then they said, "All right, new inductees, come on in." They put you into a little room. They do some things. They put you in some certain things, and then they bring you in blindfolded, and you do some more things.
The act of blindfolding, I was just thinking about the aspects of cult indoctrination, and there's a number of aspects of cult indoctrination. Firstly, they make the members of the cult believe that they're different from other people, that they're special. They make them believe that everything that they knew previously currently doesn't matter, and provide a new framework for them to perceive reality. Go ahead.
I was going to say that the idea behind the blindfold is you go in blindfolded, you do some things, they have you, you know, do things here and there, and then at the end, they take the blindfold off. And that is the first time, it's symbolic of the first time you're seeing the light, and it's the first time that you're seeing the inside and you're seeing the order. And what's interesting is, you don't know who's in that room. You don't know the people that are, you, when you go in there blindfolded, you don't know if there's four guys in there or if there's 40 guys or if there's 400 guys, and you don't know who those guys are. So, and up to that point, if you fail that first, if you don't go through the things that they want you to do correctly, then you'll be led back out and you'll never know who was in that room. But if you don't and you proceed through, then they take the blindfold off, and for the first time, you're able to see everything. You're able to see the people, and you're able to see the inside, and it's very much a idea of, here are your new eyes, here's the new way that you're going to see things. Welcome in.
Mm. And how, emotionally, how did you feel at that particular point? Did you feel welcome? Did you feel like you were part of something, or did you feel like these guys are really freaking creepy?
No, the first two degrees that I achieved were very. It was great. You know, you got guys cheering you on, patting you on the back. Don't worry, everything's going to be fine. I mean, waiting outside the room, and when they bring into, you know, the next level, it's nerve-wracking. You're scared. You don't know what to expect. You don't know what's going to happen. But once you finish and, you know, everyone's clapping and they're patting you on the back and they're, you don't understand everything. I mean, there's a lot of things going on that you have no idea. But they're cheering for you and they're happy for you. And you know, it's very welcoming. It's very seductive. It's very intoxicating.
Mm. seductive and intoxicating. Sounds like somebody's about to rape you to me.
No, no. It's, so,
in some kind of like intellectual fashion sort of thing, like planting a seed inside you.
No, if you're ever in school and you see a bunch of kids standing together in the corner and they're all laughing to each other and they all know a joke and, you know, you don't know. They could be laughing at you. They could be laughing at a teacher. They could be laughing at the kid on the swing set. But you don't have any idea. And then they come over and they say, hey, Vinny, come over here. Come over here. And they bring you over there and they tell you that secret. And now you're in on the joke. But nobody else is. But just you guys. And when you walk out, when you go back into the school room, you go back into the classroom, same thing. When you walk out of the temple for the first time, it's very much like, I'm in on it now. I'm part of something that everybody that I see out here on the street passing me by is. I know the joke. I know the secret. You don't know. You don't have the whole history of it. You don't know everything, but you feel different. You feel very much like, accepted or very much like, yeah, no, this is it. These are my guys now.
Did you feel like superior to all the other people that were passing you by on the street sort of thing?
Not so much. My first 2 degrees, I did, but then after the third degree, more so than you can ever know. Hey, after that, it's here you go. Here's my phone number. I'm such and such police chief. Here you go. Here's my phone number. I'm such and such attorney. Here you go. I'm such and such whatever. Call me if you ever need anything. What are you doing? Do you fish? Do you hunt? What do? You like cars? I have this. We do this. We're all going up to here. We're all, and it's amazing.
It's like, that's a club for you, isn't it?
It's both. I mean, there's very much time when you're doing, when you're learning degrees and you're getting things that you're questioning, saying, why am I doing this? What is the purpose of this? And the whole time, because you have to learn, information, and you have to learn knowledge, and you have to learn certain things to get your next degree. And so you train with a guy, and he goes, and an older brother, and you know, I don't know why I'm doing this. Why is this important? Why does this have any meaning at all? And then you find out why. And then you get that next meeting. And then you get that next degree, rather. It soon becomes, I don't really care what they're asking me to do. All I know is that I'm riding in the car next to, you know, the district attorney for Philadelphia. Or I'm riding in the car next to Senator such and such, or who and who and how. And, you know, who am I? I'm just a guy, you know, working 9 to 5.
You know, Kyle, I actually want to thank you profusely for this call, because you've elucidated a lot of things, like from the lower level how it feels and what it's like. I really value that kind of input from you, man. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. I'm sure I couldn't tell you more, but there's just certain things I'm not
going to
do.
Well, you know. There's a good reason why you might hold back, of course, because many people don't want what is happening to James to happen to them, and nobody can force you to do it. You know, you'd have to do it on your own. So thank you for your call, and we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening.